And what I say and what you hear be useful about the mind of Christ. The reputation of John F. Kennedy has taken a battering in recent years. Journalists and historians have pitilessly exposed his compulsive womanizing. They've also pointed out that his tragic death took place at a time that spared many of the major political dilemmas coming up in the lift of the 1960s. It's by no means clear that he would have avoided many of the major tragedies about to befall American society.
But there is one thing about him that makes us remember him very clearly, and that is the way he spoke to the electorate, in a way we rarely ever hear from politicians now. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country.
Well, what about that stirring declaration about America's potential foreign policy? Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival of liberty. Stirring stuff. Since the era of the Enlightenment, the notion of obedience and service has been seen as the virtue of dogs. The result is a shrinking supply of care in our world, in which the emotional landscape of the family dries up its emotional abundance and pleasure. There are those, shaped by their family background, who delight in being a helper, love to look after others, for whom being a servant comes naturally.
In the kingdom, though, this is the way it is to be for everybody, the charter of the way in which we operate for one another, regardless of our devotion, family background, practical skills, or the lack of them. Jesus is soon to approach Jerusalem and has begun a quick re-education program for his disciples, one resistant in many ways as to what's coming next.
They find it hard to hear this. They've been on a recently successful missionary tour in which he delegated to them some of his eschatological gifts, his power to heal. And so they, a certain galloping megalomania has grown amongst them, disputes which of them can do the best in this. Also, they've begun to pick up at the edge of their consciousness the messages about the impending tragic destiny of their leader. And like us, when we fear the doctor's diagnosis, displacement activity has taken place to try and ward off this bad news. Instead, they're trying to think about who might have hot spots in the corporation. So the message is that being a servant is cool. In the kingdom, everything operates in reverse. To have status, power, and influence, to be a mover and a shaker, to be influential, means taking that role of being a servant of all.
William Barclay summed it up very well when he said, Jesus didn't abolish ambition, he kind of changed it and sublimated it. For the ambition to have others do things for you, he replaced it with the ambition to do things for others. For the ambition to rule over others, he replaced it with the ambition to serve others. This teaching is all a part of a package of what we'll be hearing over the next few Sundays. Difficult here stuff for us to take on board as well.
That committed, enduring, faithful relationships, fidelity, are expected in the intimacy lives of those living in the kingdom. That accumulation of wealth is a no-no because this creates imbalances of status and prestige and position in the life of the kingdom. All of this is hard to hear because it's really countercultural stuff, that power, sex, and money will not be the regular forces of the life of the kingdom, despite the fact that they are in the world. We shall have to sit lightly to all these things. And so, we like to think, who can live like this? Who can have the power to be like this? We shall need grace from above to live in this way. But really, within it is the secret of a life that really is life, the fulfillment and the happiness for which we long for. One final thought. In what I was saying about the cell and board and about mission drift and our desire and our intermediate institutions and our diocese comes really a challenge for us. I was saying that we need committed Christians with the right balance of skills who are prepared to do the homework, not just be passengers on committees and boards and other things that serve the diocese, to be also to have what easier the gift of bold speech.
Ask not what your diocese can do for you, but what can you do for your diocese is a message we might take away from all this. And with it also an awareness that this desire to serve, with it goes also the call sometimes to suffering and also the costly service.
So in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.